Welcome to Beers and Buckets. For the first time in person, let's do this. Super excited. I'm Connor Caldwell. I'm joined by Dal. Dal, how are you doing tonight? I can see that in person.
That's right. It's good to be here. We got some nice dinner tonight. Getting to record in person. Super fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Just watched the Cowboys do something so unbelievably dumb, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the Cowboys? Have they made an NFC championship in your lifetime? I don't think they have.
Well, I don't know.
If they have it, it would be like when you're like,
yeah, because Dez didn't catch it, even though he did catch it.
Yeah, okay, yeah, he got that.
Yeah.
But let's see when the last.
Also, while he's looking that up, we apologize for the audio. We are recording from the beautiful Fountains Resort in Orlando, Florida, but we did not bring any microphones. We're going off strictly laptop microphones, so it's not going to sound great. We apologize.
Oh, yeah. They won the NFC in 95. So
the year I was born.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I wasn't alive then because it was 95, and that was February or January, and I was born in May, so.
So I have barely even seen it.
Yeah. By the way, we can't go any longer without acknowledging this is the 69th episode of Beers and Buckets. So nice. And yeah, we're also, like I said, we're recording in Orlando. So we're here for Orlando Beer Week, which is a week-long event where the different breweries from Orlando have specials throughout the week. So we're going to check some out tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
We're going to check out Hollywood Studios on Tuesday. And also tomorrow we are going head-to-head, basketball, take your bets. We're going to have some prop bets. We should put some prop bets.
We definitely need to.
Because, like, number of fouls complained about but not called. I don't know who's going to call that, but maybe probably you.
I complain about refs more than you do.
Yeah. Number of threes made, like, over under threes. I'd like to see that one.
We can put together.
If you have any suggestions, hit us up. But this is, as you listen to this, we're probably playing this game. And we're also going to have somebody, record this game because the legacy is on the line here. And it's going to be great for the content. So check that out on Twitter as well. Anyways, let's get started. So yeah, like we were saying, Orlando Breweries, we're going to check out some breweries this week. Give you, instead of doing a beer review tonight in this episode, we're going to do it. We're going to record them, put them on Twitter, put them on YouTube. So check those out. And also Jonathan Isaac back tomorrow for Orlando. Like, can't go any longer. This is literally the last time this man played basketball. There was a worldwide pandemic just wreaking havoc on people. Like,
of all the basketball news that we can talk about, this is the one piece of basketball news that you put in the top news section.
Yes, because we are in Orlando and he's back and he's God's chosen one. So
I think this is just... This just shows that if we would have done this sooner, he would have been back sooner. I think that us coming together has led him to being back.
Maybe. But either way, we're going to go down to Church Street tomorrow night probably and watch the game at the Harry Buffalo or wherever it is that most Magic fans watch the games. And I'm excited. I got my Isaac jersey on, the chosen one. So the Minister of Defense is what he's called. Yeah. So...
I've never heard that, but that's good.
It's a great name. Great.
That's good.
All right. So last week review, I told you so games that we're irrationally confident about. Dal, what'd you tell us?
I'm truly doing irrationally confident that we were both on Memphis over Cincinnati. Connor, literally the note that he had there was DeAndre Williams will feast, and he did just that. So
big brain.
That's the I told you so game for us this week.
Yeah. I actually went with Arizona over UCLA, looking at the box score, is 58-52. I mean, the real thing was Omar Ballo just went off. He had 16 points, but he was used on 28% of possessions, and he was 8-for-11 on free throws. So he had a big game. He had 2 steals, 2 blocks, 8 total rebounds. So all around decent game for him. I mean, Kirk Kershaw had a pretty decent game too. And it's
nice to see Ballo actually doing well. Just looking at his KenPom page, he hasn't been the MVP of one of their games since November 23rd against Creighton. So nice to kind of see him.
But it was it wasn't a pretty game for Arizona offensively.
58-52 is
a low scoring affair, but that's what I said last week was Arizona's length was going to make UCLA is going to bother their shots, make them uncomfortable, and that's exactly what it showed. So
true.
Yeah. All right. So now that we bragged about ourselves, let's eat some humble pie. Teams that we were definitely too low on. I'll lead us off. FAU, Florida Atlantic, the Fighting Owls. Their lone loss is to Ole Miss. Not a good loss.
No, not really.
But second game of the season, so you're still finding your way. They have 4 wins over top 100 teams, and they're 18th in the net and 36th in the KenPom. So this is, right now, as it stands, a tournament team. Unfortunately, with the conference that they're in, they can't afford to take too many conference losses. Otherwise, they'll drop, probably be in that first 4 out. So if they can remain steady there, I think they'll be fine. But FAU, I don't have my eye on you. It's more so props for sneaking in under the radar.
Yeah, that's honestly like kind of offensive that I did Charleston a couple weeks ago when FAU was like the better version of Charleston. Charleston still is like 70th or something in KenPom.
Yeah.
Port Atlantic's up to 36th. They just now somehow got ranked, which is kind of wild. They actually have like some pretty solid wins, including a win against Florida in November, a couple wins against North Texas and UAB. Like, they're the better version of what Charleston is in terms of win-loss teams.
Yeah. I mean, they shoot their effective field goal percentage 54.3. So that's 27th in the nation, 28th in the nation in 3-point percentage. And they're also 26th in the nation in point distribution for 3-pointers. So they rely on that 3 heavy, but they're making it at a really good clip. And that's working for them, obviously. Yeah. So shout out to the Owls.
Good old Boca Raton, baby.
Yep.
My team for a team I was too low on is Purdue. I think everyone thought Purdue was going to be pretty solid. Yeah. I mainly wanted to use this almost like as a joint for Purdue and Zach Edey, because Zach Edey has now played 74% of the minutes this year, which is up from like under 50%. Yeah, 46.9, 47% of the minutes that he was playing in their games last year. I mean, I feel like he has to be pretty much the de facto number one candidate for player of the year at this point.
Yeah.
His KenPom page is just all the little like yellow numbers underneath in terms of national ranks for like everything. He's 11th in 2-point percentage. He's 11th in the Big Ten in 2-point percentage. Top 20 in what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 different metrics in the Big Ten. Just crazy efficient. The best rebounder in college basketball right now. So good for him.
Yeah. Let's move on then. Let's go. I got my eye on you. Teams that are struggling to play to their expectations. So who do you have? Who do you have your eye on?
I have Gonzaga on there. I think if I was going to say the number one news, no offense to Jonathan Isaac, the Minister of Defense, but I would say it would be Gonzaga losing at home to break their streak of like 78 games. Yeah, undefeated at home. They lost there. They're down to 17th in KenPom. So over the last week, they lost to Loyola Marymount and then gave up 90 points to Pacific. They ended up still beating Pacific, but giving up 90 to a team that's 221st in KenPom is not ideal. So Gonzaga, just that defense, their offense is still third in the country, super efficient on offense, but their defense is just absolutely horrendous compared to what they usually are. And they were sitting around the 10 mark through most of December, but have dropped down to 17th in KenPom. So need for them to pick it up on defense a little bit to be able to get back to kind of where they want to be.
Yeah. I got my eye on Connecticut, UConn. If I told you back in December, I mean, before Christmas, or even after Christmas, honestly, but by Sunday, January 22nd, that UConn would have 5 conference losses, I'd be like, you're insane. But here we are sitting with them at 500 in conference with losses to Xavier, Providence, Marquette, St. John's, and Seton Hall. Those are all really good teams.
Yeah, four of those on the road too. Like,
yeah, like it is what it is. But I mean, they lost three straight losses, away, home, and away, and you know, like, so it's just not what I expected them to be. Even at the start of the season, when I said that UConn was going to be a really good team, but looking at their page, it's like they're struggling. However, it's kind of negated today with a 30-point win over Butler. But they still have to play Xavier. They get a little bit of a couple bye weeks couple bye games with DePaul and Georgetown, but right back at it with Marquette at home in a couple weeks. So just watch out, UConn. I got my eye on you.
Yeah, they currently sit 8th in effective field goal percentage in the Big East, which just it doesn't get done. They're the 5th best offense and the 3rd best defense. So still, honestly, pretty solid. None of those losses were like blowout losses.
No.
And they've got some really bad free throw percentage luck. Teams are shooting 79% against them from the free throw line in Big East play. But still, gotta get that figured out. Get that ship righted.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's move on to the best part of the week is what happened. Teams that got upset.
There's a lot of games.
There's a lot. We could have gone even crazier with it, but we stuck with teams within the top 50 that got upset. So just kick us off. I'll go for it. Kansas State taking down number 7 Kansas, 83-82 in overtime. Now, this is not a bad loss by any means for Kansas.
No.
But because it came on the road. But still, we'll talk about Kansas a little bit more later. But Jalen Wilson with 38 points in a loss, that sucks. That hurts.
Yeah.
That hurts a lot. So
he's the little kid that comes in and that gets posted where he's like, this isn't my fault. Yeah, this is your fault.
You. Yeah. So, Jayhawks, what happened?
Next we have the former Big 12 rival of Kansas. We got Mizzou taking down Arkansas. Kobe Brown was 17-6. Mizzou beat them 79-76. This was projected to be a close game.
Yeah.
But
it was a foul fest.
Yes.
It was gross.
But Arkansas could have been in our let's keep an eye on you team, because they have really fallen off. They got some injuries that have hurt them, but Arkansas, what happened?
Yeah. Nebraska took down the 18th ranked Buckeyes of Ohio State, 63-60. Greisel, I don't know. 15 points, 7 rebounds. So solid game for Sam there. And yeah, I mean, Nebraska and the kids that like corn, you know, they took them down, man. Corn greater than nuts, I guess. So Buckeyes, what happened?
Too. I forgot this one even happened. We got Indiana 80, Illinois 65. Trace Jackson with 35, 9, 5, and 3.
This was so close to being my, like, I told you so.
Yeah.
I knew this was going to happen.
You knew they were going to beat them by 15?
I knew it was going to be a big win for Indiana.
Fair enough. Yeah, projected to be a 5-point win for Illinois. Turned out to be a 15-point loss. 20-point swing, not great.
Yeah,
Illinois,
I feel like is reeling a little bit.
Yeah,
that stock of depth losing Sky Clark because he was getting significant minutes.
Yep.
That was weird. So Loyola Marymount, we already talked about, took down Gonzaga in the kennel, 68-67.
Are you sure that's a home game for Gonzaga? I get confused with them.
Yeah, I mean, like 5 minutes down the road is not my home. It's if I went to my parents' house 5 minutes down the road, that's not my home.
True, technically.
but Loyola Marymount took down Gonzaga, and Jalen Anderson had 15 points. I mean, two boards or two assists and one board.
When you're only scoring 68 points, though, 15 is
significant amount. Yeah, yep. Yeah. So, Bulldogs, what happened?
What is Loyola Marymount's mascot?
No idea.
Yeah, I got an idea. Next game, Washington 75, Colorado randomly 46 in KenPom. Was shocked to see this.
Yeah.
But what happened was the former Wildcat, Keon Brooks, came through with 25 to score a third of Washington points and beat Colorado. So, Buffs. What happened?
Curse of Deion Sanders. Villanova 75. I read that wrong. Villanova 57. I just flipped it. Villanova 57. St. John's 49 points. Your Red Storm. What happened?
Hey,
Brandon Slater happened. That's what it was.
They're a defensive team. Okay. Yeah. I never said they were the offensive.
Good for the Wildcats. Much needed win for them. Red Storm. What happened?
Speaking of Wildcats, we already talked about this game a little bit, but Arizona 58, UCLA 52. Omar Ballo getting that MVP.
Yep.
Bruins. What happened?
USC 77, Arizona State Sun Devils 69. Not nice because they lost. Drew Peterson.
Not nice.
Drew Peterson with 19 and 8 and 4. That's a good stat line right there. Two blocks and three steals. He did everything in that game. So, yeah. What is the Sun Devils? What happened?
This is honestly the game that I should have picked from I told you so, even though I don't think I actually told you so.
And I don't think you would have called it by 23 points.
But, you know, that's irrelevant. We got TCU and the Fighting Mike Milehouses taking on Kansas. After Kansas losing to Kansas State, getting absolutely whooped at home by TCU, 23 points. Shahada Wells is the MVP here, and you could have even taken him out of the game, and they still would have won. 17-5 with four steals for him. Jayhawks, tough week. What happened?
Yeah, like we said, it's not a good sign when you're featured on this segment twice.
Yeah, this is not one that
unless you're upsetting twice. Two teams in a row. But
fair,
yeah. All right, so the Ducks of Oregon got smacked around by Stanford Trees, 71-64. Harrison Ingram with 11-8-5. So he's kind of all over the place too with that. Yeah, Ducks, what happened?
This was a wild week on the West Coast. You got all these Pac-12 games. You got Gonzaga and Loyola Marymount. This is not a good week to be a top team on the West Coast.
No, not good at all.
This one's got a sting. I'm glad you put this one where I had to say it. We got South Florida 85, UCF 72. What really happened is UCF is just tanking here to get motivation to then win against Houston this week since we're going to be there. That's actually what happened. But they got a little help from Tyler Harris, who went for 33-67, which is what the probably – I don't know, Trace Jackson-Davis, not 35-9-5 is probably better. But second best stat line of the week. Oh, Jalen Wilson in a loss. That doesn't count.
Oscar Sheway with 37-24.
Well, but he's not on the list.
He's not on this list, correct. But he still had that.
He did do that. Anyways, Knights.
I know what happened. You know, it's called the Yingling Center for a reason. And they just got wasted and then went and played basketball. That's what it looked like.
You know what? It happened to the best of us.
Yep.
That might happen tomorrow.
All right, George Washington took down the Flyers of Dayton, 76-69. Again, not nice. James Bishop with 27-4-7 and a steal. So, how are you going to lose to our first president, Flyers? What happened?
He's like 150 years old with that. No, 250.
I was going to say, like, we're well past 150 years.
Math ain't math in there. All right, last game. Again, second need motivation to play up for the Beers and Buckets boys. Temple 56, number one Houston 55. Got Damian Dunn going for 16-4-3. Temple coming off what should have been a 21-point win for Houston, getting that 1-point loss. The Owls. What happened, Houston?
Yeah. All right, let's move on then. All right, it's time for Shark Tank upsets. This is the part of the show where one of us pitches to the other person a upset for the week. Got to be ranked higher than the person that they're playing against, and KenPom can't say that they are going to win. So the other person will either be totally out, they'll buy a pint, case, pony keg, or the whole brewery. So, Dal, what are you pitching?
We want a whole brewery?
We've done that last couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
No one's actually bought a whole brewery yet, but...
Yeah. I might just do it just because of it. All right. My game. We got the likely Big East player of the year in Bryce Hopkins, who has just been on fire. Got the Providence Flyers coming in. Or Friars, not Flyers. Friars. taking on the Butler Bulldogs at the Amica Mutual Pavilion in Providence. This game is on Wednesday, 8:30. Butler coming in off of a loss to UConn.
By 30.
Yeah, not great. But, okay, Butler does a very good job of limiting teams getting to the free throw line, and Providence loves getting to the free throw line. So I think that's honestly the big thing. I do wish that it was at Butler so they could get the home whistle. So I worry about that a little bit. But Providence really does rely on that, because outside of that, they are 157th in three-point percentage. They're 100th in two-point percentage, so it's not they're super efficient. They turn the ball over a decent amount. They get blocked a decent amount on offense, so they're 24th. They're 24th in offense, but a lot of that really does rely on them getting the free throw line. They're 19th in terms of percentage of their points that come from free throws. So keep them off the line, and you can really kind of stifle their offense. So that's my main pitch. Also, just think Butler has kind of been like a little sneaky this year. They beat Villanova by 8 earlier in the year. They beat Yale. They beat Kansas State. That's been like a crazy team that's on fire. They beat them by 12 earlier in the year at home. So I'm taking the Bulldogs and Thad Mata to go in and beat Providence. What you got?
I gotta look at this for a second. Don't love the offensive rebounding percentage for Butler. That's gonna be a struggle. Trying to see. I'm looking at this Butler Kansas State game to see how do they limit Kansas State's offense to 64 points. Not really giving me a whole lot to work with here. I don't know. Just it's tough. I think I'm gonna buy a pint on this. I'm not super confident in this.
Butler has also like more than a full inch in terms of average height.
Inches a whole lot.
Yeah.
Inches.
I mean, yeah, it goes from very much 259th for Providence to 88th. Oh, you're making a joke.
Yeah.
I was being serious.
Well, I mean, I'm dead serious too. Oh man. Yeah, like I say, I'll take a pint on this. I'm not entirely sure it'll happen, but I want to be in on it if it does. Unfortunately, like I said, both of our games last week did not hit.
That means we're due.
I think we said that last week too. But
we're even more due.
Double down. But yeah, I'll take a pint on it. I'm not super sold on it just because of how they struggle at getting to the line, and they struggle to get offensive rebounds. I feel like you need both of those things for an upset on the road.
Yeah, that's fair.
And they don't, you know, they get the ball stolen from them a lot. So don't love that. But like I said, I'll take a pint just because upsets happen all the time without rhyme or reason. So
that is true.
You know, we can't totally just knock that out. So that's. You got a pint, buddy. Congratulations. Okay.
Thanks.
Sharks, welcome. And thanks for joining me in sunny Orlando, Florida for this event. Tuesday, January 24th at 7 p.m. on the ACC Network in Raleigh, North Carolina. Number 160, Notre Dame's taking on number 41, NC State. Now, Dal, did you watch any of the NC State game yesterday?
I sadly did.
And what happened in that unfortunate game for NC State?
Well, you know what? We always talk. I am the major proponent of Tre'Quavion Smith. And he likely, considering he got taken off in a stretcher, will probably not be playing.
Probably will be missing this game. And do you know what percentage of possessions is used? He's used
in that? A lot.
29.4.
Yeah, that's not good to lose.
Especially for an offense that is... What is now, where are they at? 44th in the nation. Just pretty good offense. For somebody to be used that much on an offense this efficient, that means taking your key guy out will cause them to struggle. Now, on the flip side, Notre Dame is, they're not the greatest team. Obviously, they were in your in your team to watch last week. However, their defense is terrible. So, but their offense is fine. Their offense is 84th. It's not perfect, but they are 32nd in the nation in three-point percentage. They are 60th in the nation in free throw percentage. They are 5 in non-steal turnovers. They're 27th in steals percentage. This is a solid offense. I think Mike Bray can come in and take care of business on the road against a team that just lost their guy. This is going to be like who can step up for NC State. This might be a couple games for them to find out who that person is. So this is why I'm more preying on the fact that, you know, like this NC State team has questions more so than Notre Dame has it figured out in this one.
Yeah, no, it's tough. This one's like kind of cheating.
A little bit.
You're taking advantage of the fact that he's out.
However, NC State is still favored. True. And true. Still ranked higher. So. True.
This is honestly going to be an ugly, ugly game.
Yeah.
Without Dakota Smith there. Because Notre Dame's offense is 11th in the ACC and 15th in defense. NC State is 10th in offense, even with Tre'Quavion Smith. The big thing is going to be their defense. And if after watching that NC State game, the thing that I really am worried about is them just throwing the ball to that DJ Burns guy, who is just a massive human, and just having him back down, because they were actually getting a lot of good offense out of that, even against a North Carolina team that has some pretty solid big men. I'll go a six pack here. I do think it's going to be kind of jarring, and I think Notre Dame will have some ability to use the tape that North Carolina created with them and going to him so much. But I just worry about him getting guys in foul trouble, and because their bench is so limited.
Very limited, yeah.
They literally only have
seven guys
on their depth chart. So, yeah, I'll do a six-pack, though. J.J. Starling has been really good, has kind of come on recently and played well.
Yeah.
So, I say that. He had 3 points in their loss to Boston College. Okay, that's not helping my point. But we'll go a six-pack anyway.
How many minutes did he play in that game?
25.
Yeah, that's not great.
Why are you only taking 2 shots? Only taking 5 shots. That's dumb. Weird.
I don't know. But NC State probably going to lose just because
they're reeling.
Questions about who leads this team now that Tre'Quavion Smith is out. And probably going to be done for the season, if we're being honest. That I can't imagine that he would come back from after the Tua situation earlier in the NFL season.
Yeah,
that's really tough. Especially with this draft stock being what it is. So we'll see. But, all right, it's time to move on then.
NBA fans, the NBA action is just getting started, and so are the incredible offers at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can make any $5 NBA pregame moneyline bet and get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Check this out. Right now, everyone can earn up to 100% boost with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, place a same game parlay, and combine multiple bets like which team will win, total rebounds, total points scored, and more. With payouts bigger than ever, DraftKings Sportsbook is where I go to bet on the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code TBPN, make any $5 bet this week, and get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with promo code TBPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Okay, it's time for throwdown games. These are games that we just think are going to be really fun, really good things to watch for. Even if you don't watch them, check out the scores. They have a lot of implications for them, so tournament implications. So definitely check them out. Last week, Dal had 8. I had 13. So on the season, I'm up 4-3, and I think I'm up by 2 on total games picked. So we're pretty close, pretty back and forth here as we go. Also, before we move on, I mean, tomorrow, the best third down game of the week, our one-on-one game. Who do you got, Dell?
All right, I should have done this as my upset pick, considering that you got 80% of the fucking vote. But I think I'm going to bet on myself here and say that I will take the thing. I have been saving this and wasn't even going to mention it, but now I will. It's pretty windy here, which...
Right now.
Which hopefully it continues to be, because of the two of us, Connor is probably a better shooter than me. But it's hard to shoot in the wind because we're going to be playing outside. So hopefully that continues. That'll give me a little bit of advantage. This is his home. We are technically.
This is my Gonzaga home court.
Yeah, this is your. Yeah, true. You have literally been here before, so more home court than I have.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to go me on this third game.
Well, obviously.
Here, I'm literally going to add this to the list because it needs to be in here.
Well, I could just take a right field and pick you as well and then throw the game and change.
Yeah, you don't, you're not going to. There's no way you would do that.
No way. My pride's too big. Yeah, obviously going with me. The voters voted correct. I mean, the voting's still up. So if you're listening to this, I think it's still up until 1 o'clock. But yeah, we're going to have to go change all that. But anyways, yeah, I got to go with me here. We have to determine what the score will be. And I definitely want to do make it, take it, but take it after three. So that way there's an opportunity at there's an opportunity to get defensive stop. You don't have to get a defensive stop.
Yes.
Whoever gets first to get to the three gets the ball back, whatever. But we'll make sure to get that filmed up, like I said. Anyways, the real games. 9 p.m. in Waco, Texas. Number 9, Kansas, taking on number 14, Baylor. KenPom says 76-74 Baylor. Who you got, Dal?
So every time I've been like, this team can't lose X game because they've lost 2 in a row or 3 in a row or 6 in a row, it has never worked for me. But I feel like that it's just hard for Kansas to lose that many games in a row. But
I'm with you on this 100%, though.
But, it's Baylor at home, so I want to go Baylor.
We've seen Baylor lose at home to weird teams, too. Baylor is a roller coaster this year. They kind of remind me of Bama last year that could beat anybody in the nation, could lose to anybody in the nation.
Yeah, that's
good. You're going Baylor. I'm going Kansas. It would be one thing. Creighton losing 6 in a row is one thing.
No, it isn't, though. That doesn't make any sense.
Bill Self is not losing 3 in a row. When's the last time it happened? For Kansas, it probably hasn't happened in 20 years. Bill Self is not losing to Baylor.
Yeah, well, Bill Self doesn't play.
That's true, but he directly influences the game. Nice. So it's not happening. I think Kansas turns this around. They need a good win, anyways, because
they do.
Saturday. So, yeah. All right. So number
that's true. I didn't think about that. Yeah. That would be 4 in a row.
Yeah. So they need a win just so we get the. Number 31, Duke, takes on number 47, Virginia Tech.
You're picking this one first.
Yeah, I know. I am. This is at 7 p.m. in Blacksburg. Virginia Tech's supposed to win 68-67. Every time I pick Virginia Tech, they lose. Every time I pick – maybe they did. Maybe that one I told you so game, I think I beat Virginia Tech winning.
Maybe.
The Hokies. Yeah, it was the Hokie episode. But anyways, every time – I feel like that was the only one that hit. Every time I pick Duke, they end up losing. But I think that streak was broken yesterday.
But that was one where you picked Duke wrong still.
I picked Miami, and Duke ended up winning. I'm just going to go with Duke here. They're the underdog. I just feel like I like it here. I think that win against Miami was huge. I feel like that's one of those. That's the kind of win, even though it came at home, that's the kind of win that you build on. Against a really solid Miami team in the ACC, so even the Blue Devils.
I think they're going to be laying some. Well, I guess laying some bricks would be building. not a great analogy. Whatever. I'm picking Virginia Tech.
All right. Number 44, New Mexico is taking on number 50, Nevada, at 9 p.m. in Reno. This Nevada is supposed to win 75-72. What do you got?
Actually, let me look at this. These are two teams that
we haven't talked about these teams a lot, and I wanted to talk about some other teams.
This is a good call.
We have talked a little bit about New Mexico because they took on Iona, and it was the Battle of the Patinos, and he is the one true Rick Pitino.
He is the Rick Pitino.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go Nevada here. They're taller, and their assists per field goal made is 65th in the country compared to New Mexico at 217th. So those would be – they don't get any offensive rebounds. It's just weird for being how tall they are. But I'm going to go Keenan Blackshear to have a big game and take Nevada to the promised land.
I'm actually going to go with New Mexico. I think Monster Mash has another monster game.
It's so funny that he plays for Baby Patino.
I love it. It's a legacy game. Well, I guess it wouldn't be the legacy game. It's a legacy team. But it is. He has been pretty well this year.
Yeah.
Obviously. So I think they're just going to ride with him. Their only losses are by combined like 12 points to Fresno State and UNLV back-to-back. They seem to turn around, blowing some teams out. Nevada's good, though. Don't like that it's on the road for them, but I'm still going to go New Mexico. Give me the Lobos. All right. And that's it for Monday. So Tuesday, Be Real's going off.
It's Be Real time.
Shout out to the podcast for getting on Be Real. Yeah, anyways, Tuesday, the 124, number 19, Ohio State's taking on number 29, Illinois, at 7 p.m. in Champaign. We already kind of talked about it, Dal, but I think we can go with the Buckeyes here.
I think I'm going to go Buckeyes as well. Bryson Spott is really good at basketball, and Illinois is still kind of trying to figure out their problems. So,
yeah. Illinois' lack of depth is really why I'm not going with it. And when they do get hot, it's not because of their defense. It's because their offense is clicking. Ohio State, like, they have a really, really efficient offense. It's really tough for them, for teams to stop them. So, yeah. All right, 9 p.m. in Ames, Iowa. Number 26, Kansas State, taking on number 12, Iowa State. Who do you got?
I think I'm leaning Kansas State here. Let me pull up this game real quick just to confirm who you got.
I'm going with Iowa State. Home game. Kansas State, I think, have struggled on the road besides winning that freaky Texas game by 13 points when it was 116, whatever. Yep. 116, 103. I said after that game that I was never not picking Kansas State, but here I am picking not Kansas State. So, but give me the Cyclones. I think they popped up there. I mean, they're number 12 in the nation for a reason. So, I like them in this matchup here.
Yep, I'll go Kansas State if that's the way you're going, just to be different.
All right, number 37, Penn State, taking on number 21, Rutgers at 6:30 p.m. in Jersey Mike's Arena. Ken Pomp saying 67-62 Rutgers. Do we even need to ask this question?
No. We're picking Jersey Mike's.
Yeah. The power of the Jersey Mike's Arena, sub above, go Scarlet Knights. Then we got number 40, Oklahoma. At number 18, TCU in Fort Worth, Texas at 8 p.m. TCU is supposed to win 72-66. I want so desperately for Oklahoma to win this game, but I don't like the fact that it's on the road. Oklahoma, kind of like Baylor, except for a worse version in terms of being able to beat anybody good. They did blow out. Who did they beat just the other day? It was a blowout win for them.
Let's see. No. They haven't blown anyone out recently. They blew up Florida.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking, who was I thinking of?
They got blown out by Oklahoma State.
Maybe that's what it was then. Yeah, so you're definitely not picking Oklahoma. So give me the Horny Toads. Yep.
Hypno Toad.
All right, number 34, Oklahoma State, taking on number 10, Texas at 9 p.m. in Austin, Texas in the Moody Center. 71-64, Texas victory, according to Ken Pom. What do you got?
Let's go Texas here. Let's go Texas here.
I'd like to be different, Dal, but I'm not like you. I'm going to pick who I think is going to win. And Texas is going to win this game. Moody Magic. I don't think I've picked Texas. I haven't picked Texas at home. Like, they've only picked Texas at home, I mean. So, all right, Wednesday.
That's 8 games on Tuesday also. That's going to be nuts.
Yeah. We have plenty that are different.
There's
5 games. There's a bunch on Wednesday, too.
Yeah.
There's a bunch on Wednesday. There's a bunch on Saturday. So we have plenty of opportunities to be different in this in the third down segment here. So, all right, Wednesday, the 25th at number 28, West Virginia taking on number 64 Texas Tech at 7 p.m. in Lubbock. West Virginia is supposed to win 72-71. We talked about this off camera. One of these teams has to win. Luckily, West Virginia picked up that dub against TCU. Otherwise, we'd have two winless conference teams battling for not last at this point, which is insane. Because if you had told me at the beginning of the season that Texas Tech would be winless in conference,
I wouldn't believe you.
Yeah. If this was in West Virginia, I'd say give me the Mountaineers. But it's in Lubbock. They are reeling. They absolutely need a win. They're going to be hungry for it. Daniel Bacho hitting that dude in that midcourt was stupid. Just all around, like the vibes are bad. A win against a top 50 West Virginia team is what turns it around.
I hope you're right, but I'm picking West Virginia.
I'm going with my heart when my heart wants, not what my head's saying. But both these are decent teams. Like I'm saying, this is the worst winless team or the best winless team in conference I've ever seen.
Yeah, seriously.
It's absolutely insane. All right, we're going to be at this game. We have to call it. We have to talk about it. Number one Houston taking on number 52 UCF at 7 p.m. here at Edition Financial Arena in Orlando. Houston's supposed to win 64-57. Give me the Knights. They're both coming off embarrassing losses. One, the home team's going to be behind this team here, and I will be cheering on like the Dickens.
Whoever wins this game gets to say that their loss this week was the worst of the two, because I don't really know which one was worse, the UCF loss or the loss to Temple. I'm going to go to the Cougars, though.
Okay. Number 22, Xavier's taking on number 6, UConn at 6:30 p.m. in Connecticut. UConn's supposed to win 83-74. Who do you got?
Let's go Connecticut to right the ship.
I'm going with Xavier here. I think they've just been better. Despite what KenPom says, I think Xavier's been more consistent this season. They don't really have a lot of bad losses. They have one loss that came at home for sure. That was like they should have ended up winning it when it's all said and done. But they're just a solid team all around. Sean Miller's got them right where he wants them. So
if this was in Cincinnati, I would be on Xavier. But yeah. I think that it's in Connecticut. So I'm going to go UConn.
Yeah. All right, number 46, Utah State is taking on number 27, San Diego State at 11 p.m. in San Diego. Aztecs supposed to win 77-72. I'm going Utah State on this one. Home court advantage doesn't really apply to San Diego for some reason, from what I've seen.
Yeah, like the crowd is very not
real high
there. I mean, honestly, it might be it. I don't know. It's an all outdoor arena. Like the concourses are all outdoors, which is like super weird. I don't know. It just like was very low energy when we went.
Yeah.
Granted, we went on like a weeknight to a team they were playing that was bad, but you are correct. I don't think home court advantage is like super advantageous there, but I'm still going Aztecs here.
They just haven't, I feel like they haven't been tested in a while, as San Diego State hasn't. So, I mean, they had a loss. Like Colorado State, they won in overtime. Air Force, not a great team. They lost to New Mexico. They beat Nevada. But, I mean, it's been a while since they had a good team.
Yeah, I mean, this is the best team they played since, like, outside of New Mexico, which is pretty much the same team, the best team they played since the beginning of December.
Yeah, and if you look at Utah's like last few games or whatever, the only teams that they lost to in the new year has been two top 25 or top 50 teams. So, and Boise State, Nevada. So they have good losses there. So yeah, give me the Aggies. Number 48, Texas A&M taking on number 16, Auburn in the jungle in Auburn, obviously 9 p.m. 73-65 Auburn victory, according to KenPom. Who you got?
I'm going to go with the Tigers here. Texas A&M just – I don't think Texas A&M has the guards to really fully take advantage of how poor the Auburn guards are, and I think Auburn's big men are a little bit better. So I'm going to go Tigers.
Counterpoint, Auburn doesn't have the guards to
True.
Do that either. However, right. I am going to go with the Tigers too because this is happening in Auburn, and they get the friendliest whistle in Auburn. They,
you do. Is it still as bad as it was last year, or
it? I don't know if it's as bad as last year because they don't have a top three lottery pick playing, but they still do get a friendly whistle.
They do
in the jungle there.
I'm also bringing up the guard point just to say, like, I like Auburn's bigs a little bit better, and so Texas A&M would have to make it up on the guard end, whereas that's.
Well, and if these Auburn guards really struggle away from home too, when they do, they're not great. They struggle away from home. The fact that it is at home, it helps them a lot. They get that crowd rocking. Katie Johnson looked like a penguin out there. We'll be fine.
Looking like Rico.
Yeah. So status report number Thursday the 26th. Number 4 UCLA is taking on number 49 USC at 9 p.m. in the Galen Center in Los Angeles. So UCLA is supposed to win 70-64. I'm going with the Trojans here with the upset.
Would never have been able to come up with what the name for USC's arena was.
You could have given
me a million guesses. I would have gotten it. I'll go UCLA here. Obviously, a home game for USC, but obviously same city concerned about LA.
Not really much of a home court advantage there.
And that UCLA defense is just really, really
good. It's good. However, I think I watched this game. This is a rematch game. So they played earlier at UCLA in Pauley Pavilion. I think it was a really close game, if I'm not mistaken. But either way, USC has what it takes. I think they just didn't execute fully. Being at home, this might help. So
the execution piece, I think, is the thing that really does scare me, though. USC is really bad about giving up offensive rebounds, one thing that UCLA does well.
Yeah.
And they turn the ball over a lot, which UCLA is 8th in the country in forcing turnovers.
Yes.
So those two things just made me think that UCLA is going to be
totally for lose. Number 35, Iowa's taking on number 38, Michigan State in East Lansing at 7 p.m. Michigan State is supposed to win 76-73. Who do you got?
I'm pretty sure you can't pick Duke games, right, apparently, to save your life. I can't pick Iowa games to save my life. I pick them, and they'll be up by, like, 30, and then they'll somehow lose because they give up some crazy run, or they do that to me when I pick against them. I would love to be able to just abstain from this if I could. I'll go Iowa here.
I'm going to Michigan State. They're at home. They're coming off a loss. They need it again. They need a home crowd. They'll get it. Plus, Iowa's defense is bad. So bad.
That is true.
So, I mean, Michigan State's defense not great either. So, I mean, it's a weird game to call. I feel like it's not going to go in either one's favor as far as, like, somebody has to win it, but it's not going to be pretty. Number 55, Colorado's taking on number 54, Oregon at 9 p.m. in Eugene, Oregon at the Knight Arena. 72-68, victory for Oregon. I'm going Colorado in here. Just like with my Duke games, I picked the Oregon games completely opposite every time, but give me the Buffs. I think they need the bounce back win too.
I think the true loser of this game is going to be anyone that watches it and has to deal with that stupid court. I'm gonna go Oregon here. Their front court is too nasty.
Yeah.
And I already said that I was surprised that Colorado was ranked in our What Happened games. So.
One of the few teams to beat Tennessee this season, though. So
there's
that.
Fair.
Saturday the 28th, you got the SEC Big 12 Challenge. It's going to be fun. A lot of games to predict, but here we go. Number 9 Kansas taking on number 33 Kentucky in Rupp Arena at 8 p.m. It's going to be a crazy game. Man, this is tough. I'm just going to go to the Cats just because why not? Why not us? Why not now?
All right, JoJo Kemp. I really wanted to pick Kentucky, but I'm really...
Are you picking Kansas because I picked Kentucky? Because that's a stupid reason.
No, but I'm really worried about Jalen Wilson and Green Day.
I'm not. We can talk about this now. We're here. We talked. We finally made it to this game. We can talk about it. I'm not worried about Jalen Wilson. Why? Because he put 38 points in a loss. Here's the thing. Grady Dick fouled out of that game. And then the next game.
Who do we have that's going to make Grady Dick foul out?
Anybody. We got the home whistle of Rupp Arena. And that's a real thing because Oscar should have been ejected in that game against Texas A&M. So, like, it's a real home cooking thing. I like it. everyone gives Kentucky or everyone says Kansas doesn't get a home whistle, which is definitely not true. It 100% happens. So Kentucky gets the home whistle. Grady Dick has to be perfect in this game. Who's going to stop Oscar Tshiebwe is the real question too.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know what I mean? So Jalen Wilson, just let him feast. If you're Kentucky, let him do what, because it showed in the last two games he's had 30-point performances, and they've lost in both of those games. So he has no direct impact in the winning in that regards. They need that other person to step up.
I'm happy if we don't test that theory and don't let him go.
Correct.
For like
40. If we hold him to like 9 points, obviously going to be happy. But I'm saying is that there is a chance that he could go off and you still win the game. So
I hope you're correct, yeah. Sir.
All right, now we rant over. Number 19, Ohio State taking on number 20, Indiana in Bloomington at 8 p.m. Hoosiers supposed to win 77-74. Give me the Hoosiers. They're rolling again. I'm going to stick with them on this hot streak. Plus, every time I pick the Buckeyes, they do lose. Like, they do actually lose those games. So give me the Hoosiers.
I'll go IU as well. If this was in Columbus, I'd pick Ohio State, but they seem to kind of be reeling a little bit.
We just talked about Auburn. We're going to talk about it again. Number 16, Auburn taking on number 28, West Virginia in Morgantown at noon for this big SEC Big 12 challenge. Give me the Mountaineers. Auburn guards away from home. Stinky poo-poo. No, thank you.
Never fails to get me. I'll go West Virginia. I'll go Auburn.
Go with who you actually think is going to win.
Yeah, but like sometimes I really do. Like I don't have a strong opinion. Okay. And so I'll go contrarian on this one. I also just do think that Auburn's big men are the best group in this game. So I'll go with that.
That's true. Number 22, Xavier's taking on number 13, Creighton. Wild that Creighton's 13, by the way. At 12:15 in Omaha, Nebraska. So who you got? Who you got in this one?
Go on the Blue Jays. They can't lose however many games in a row. That's never bit me before.
Man, actually, yeah, I'm not going to go contrarian on here. I want to go Xavier because they have been the better team so far, but I picked them to win at UConn. I don't think they're going to win two road games like that in a row against top 25 teams. So
that's tough.
That's a really tall task to do. So, yeah, give me the Blue Jays as well. Number 23, Arkansas taking on number 14, Baylor at 4 p.m. in Waco. Baylor's supposed to win 78-73. I got the Bears in this one at home. They're very similar teams, though, in terms of expectations.
Yep.
We were talking about this earlier. In terms of expectations for the season, in terms of talent coming into this team, very similar in that regards in that they haven't quite reached those preseason expectations. But also, Anthony Black is just an absolute turd. I can't stand him.
What? I don't like him a lot.
So I really didn't have any strong feelings on him until the Vanderbilt game. Did you see that?
No,
that fiasco? End of the first half, or almost end of the first half, he gets an AM1 bucket, and he goes over with Melora Brown. And like he gets that AM1 bucket on him. Melora Brown's on his back, trying to get up. Anthony Black comes walking, like he's facing to the left. He comes walking all like five steps over to stand over him and stare him down. And then somebody comes and shoves him from behind, his whole fight. And then there was like 8 technical free throws assessed plus the foul free throw. So 9 free throws total given to Arkansas to give him like a 14-point lead.
That's chaos agent right there.
But Vandy came back. Anyways.
Gamesmanship.
As he finishes his free throws, which – this is on Vandy for having that stupid court.
With court, it's awful.
Where you could see the whole bench for the team. As he finishes making free throws, he goes the crybaby face.
We love a classic crybaby motion.
No, no tech, no tech assess.
That's hilarious.
On a technical free throw, no tech assess.
Love it.
Just absolutely insane. And this is a villain team in Arkansas.
It really kind of is.
And this is not a villain team for Baylor. And I really like Keontae George. So
yeah. I'm a sucker for jumbo like playmakers, and Tre'Quavion Smith is one. Anthony Black is also one. But like you said, with Auburn being stinky poo poo on the road, Arkansas also kind of falls into that bucket. So we'll go Baylor here as well.
Yeah. All All right, number 10, Texas taking on number 2, Tennessee at 6 p.m. in Thompson Bowling Arena. Man, this is tough. Who you got?
This is tough. This game's going to be like 40 to 38.
It's going to be gross.
This is going to be disgusting.
Here's the thing. Is Texas plays to the style of the teams that they play. Like, they put up 100 points and they lost to Kansas State. But they also can win and, like, grind it out games that are, like, low-scoring 40s, 50s style games. So,
yeah.
It depends on what Texas wants to show up. However, there's a really good Tennessee defense. And I just don't think that they're going to take a loss against at home like they did against Kentucky. That just doesn't happen too often with this Tennessee team, with Rick Barnes. So give me the balls here.
Yeah, same, I think. Especially if we picked Texas earlier to beat Oklahoma State. They can't beat two orange teams in a row. So we'll go Tennessee there too as well.
They'll beat the worst orange team there.
Yeah.
Number 42, Florida, taking on number 26, Kansas State in Manhattan, Kansas at 6 p.m. Who do you got?
I think this is close. I think Kansas State blows them out.
Florida's defense is really good. I just don't trust their offense.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm still going to go with the Gators, though. I have a weird feeling about this game. So give me the Gators in this one. Plus, I got to root for the SEC because that's a boomer thing to do, is to root for your conference.
Yeah. It's really just a boomer SEC thing too.
Other
boomers don't do that.
Yeah, it really is just a boomer SEC thing to do. Sunday the 29th, two more games left, guys. 21 Rutgers takes on number 35 Iowa at 2 p.m. in Iowa City. 71-70 victory for Iowa according to Ken Pom. I'm gonna go with the Hawkeyes, home team. It's not a Jersey Mike's.
The power of Jersey Mike's does not travel, sadly.
No.
I'll still go Rutgers here. I just think they're a better team.
They are a better team. Yeah, that is correct. I have Iowa losing earlier, but now that you pick Rutgers, it's guaranteed Iowa victory for me. So.
Yeah, true. I literally cannot pick Iowa to save my life.
All right, last game, 59, Michigan taking on number 37, Penn State at noon in University Park, Pennsylvania, Bryce Jordan Center. 74-69 victory for Penn State. Who do you got?
I really want to see who you have.
I'm not Penn State.
Okay, I was gonna say, are you gonna? I was really hoping you were gonna pick Michigan, and I was gonna be like, oh, but I hate Hunter Dickinson.
No, I do hate Hunter Dickinson. No, but I'm going Penn State because this is like we've talked about them before on this pod, man. Threes at home. They've lost games like this before, but I still like that for them there. So
I'm gonna say my, I guess. The three-point shooting is really good. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, this has been Third Down Games. I'm ready for this last call. So let's do it. All right. It's time for last call as we close things out. I'm going to lead us off because Dal's still kind of thinking of his. But mine's going to rifle some feathers here. I can't
rifle
speak.
Some feathers?
Rifle some feathers. Ruffle some feathers. Yeah. the memes that you post in reply to sports admin teams. They're not funny. They're not funny. There hasn't been one of them like, ooh, this is actually funny, that are like the oversaturated deep fried memes with the laser eyes and stuff like those. If you know the people that post them, it's a little funny, but it's still not that funny. The you lost to fill in the blank, this is the most boomer take I'll ever have on this podcast. But I still think those aren't super funny. But if you enjoy them, then do them. And just be prepared to eat those when your team loses. And it's going to happen inevitably. But I think, especially after St. Peter's lost, I really did not find those funny at all. And people still bring up that loss as if it wasn't an Elite Eight team. As if it wasn't a team that literally made it to the Elite Eight. It's not like they got bounced. It's not UMBC. They didn't get bounced the next round. They made it to the freaking Elite Eight and beat Purdue, but Kentucky takes all the heat for that. So Kentucky fans in Kentucky need an apology, or not an apology, but a thank you note in our mailboxes this March for taking that loss to St. Peter's and allowing St. Peter's to go all the way to the Elite Eight.
We're taking credit for that now.
Because that was a good freaking team, and that could have gone up. Who'd they end up losing to? And that was it, Duke. No, it wasn't Duke.
No.
It wasn't Purdue. Purdue lost to them.
Yeah.
I know, because I won $400 on that game.
That's me with UNBC. beating Virginia. That was such a wonderful game. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't either. But either way, just it's not UNBC level, in my opinion. So people saying that, especially Kentucky fans using it, it's like they lost to St. Peter's. Like, they lost to a freaking Elite Eight team. Like, if they had won that game, who knows what would have happened. But they lost to an Elite Eight team. It's not as bad of a loss as you're saying it is. Case closed.
Fair. You had 2 points there. But, yeah. Ooh, I'll do mine. I like to harp on stat stuff in these. On-court rating and, like, plus-minus in single games is quite possibly the most rudimentary and often completely misguided stat. It is nice to push narratives, so I understand that it's not going anywhere. And it's there. The problem is there isn't really a better metric for single game stuff, because inherently anything with single game is going to be super flawed from a like sample size perspective.
Yeah.
But when looking at it and trying to determine like lineups that are good, especially in college basketball, especially halfway through the college basketball season, like on-off numbers don't become even like statistically overly significant in the NBA after they play 8 more minutes a game and 82 games instead of 40 games max. And like even at the end of the regular season, on-off numbers aren't like the most reliable thing that you can look at in terms of stats for like lineups and stuff in the NBA. So imagine what you are like halfway through the college season. So I realize that this is great for narrative pushing, so it's going to continue to happen, but please don't base takes solely on that. And if you're going to have a take, please God, make your reasoning make sense, because you can make points and people can disagree or whatever. And I'm all for that. I am happy to disagree and just agree to disagree that you have a different opinion than I do. But if your point is, and I'm going to use an example from a recent interaction on Twitter, if your reason is that Xavier Wheeler can't play in an offense, and that they're better off playing a lineup that includes Chris Livingston and Jacob Toppin, and you say the reason for that is because Xavier Wheeler is a non-shooter, so he can't play, but yet you're looking to include two guys that are even more low volume than him and shoot a lower percentage, that's not – your point isn't a valid one. Or your reasoning isn't a valid one. Yeah. Your point can still be valid if you made the correct thing. And then you say, oh, well, it's because they're forwards and they can put pressure on the rim when – he gets to the basket whenever he wants and finishes better than Jacob Toppin at the rim. Chris Livingston finishes like slightly better at the rim than him. But like that's also not a valid argument. So make a point and have a reasoning behind it, but don't just say your point and then try and throw shit at the wall after.
Yeah.
Make sure your points are smart and well thought out.
And if you have an opinion on something, you have an opinion on something, like you said. But
yeah.
Just the relentless like backing of it, just at some point just turn off Twitter
and do what I do, delete Twitter during the weekdays. It's great.
So this has been Last Call. This has been Beards and Buckets, and it's been super fun. Make sure you follow us along, especially this week.
Yeah, this week's gonna be fun.
Especially this week, we will be posting a lot on TikTok, a lot on — I'm trying to get more on Instagram. But definitely active on Twitter this week. We're gonna do a couple of breweries and reviewing beers there. So it's not — that's why again we didn't review one tonight, because we're gonna be trying so many beers this week, and we'll kind of give the reviews there. We're also gonna hit up Oga's Cantina and Galaxy's Edge, so we'll do a review of our drinks there. And yeah, it's gonna be fun. And then obviously at the UCF game, you're not gonna want to miss the content that we're gonna post there. So make sure you check that out. Share this episode if you can. Leave a review if you can, if you really enjoy it.
Yes.
Interact with us on Twitter if you want us to talk about more teams, or if you want us to break down something, if you have questions about stuff. We're not the go-to people. We get that, but we can maybe help you out.
I am the go-to person.
Sure. Yeah. So we'll go with that. And yeah, so we want to interact with you guys. So check us out on Twitter, like I said. And yeah, that's been the bottom line because Connor said so. Oh, yeah. Check out the Basketball Podcast Network. That's who that we are part of. I didn't even mention that earlier. That's the network that we're part of. So check out their shows. We're going to have some of their guests on soon. And make sure you check out them on Twitter for more shows like this one. This has been the bottom line because Connor said so.
Thanks.
You guys have a great week. Peace.